Hey now, welcome back to Almost a Blaze, the podcast where we discuss music, life, and our experience here at UConn. This is our first episode back from spring break, so let's start off with a little spring break recap. Will, you were down in Austin, Texas at South by Southwest.
I was.
Give me the lowdown.
All right. Before I talk about South by Southwest and how great of a time it was, I have to say fuck South by Southwest because they do treat their artists like shit, I will say.
Really?
How yeah. So? They made a lot of their artists do their soundtrack right before they played in front of the crowd, which I have never seen in any other like venue before. Not that I'm experienced with music festivals.
Yeah.
But a lot of the smaller artists, like they had to move their own equipment. You know, they had to mic up amps. It just didn't seem properly amplified. And
interesting.
On top of that, it's a total cash grab, I will say, South by Southwest. A lot of, like, celebrity, like, fetishizing and stuff. But
speaking of celebrities, Faisal met Eric Andre.
Oh, yes. So now I'll jump into how awesome of a time it was. Now that I've gotten my little
let's hear all about this.
Okay. How should I go from, like, day to day, or should I start with the highlights?
However you want to do it, day to day is fine.
So we got there, when did we leave? Like Friday. And we got stuck in the airport for 4 hours because
what?
We landed at 10:30 and we couldn't get into our Airbnb or rental house until 4.
Really?
So we were like in the airport. I'm not going to lie. I got pretty grumpy. I got pretty hangry.
Oh, I'm sure. I would be too.
So that's what the first day was just managing that. Day two, Saturday, was before any of the music festival started. So we didn't really know what we wanted to do. We were kind of just screwing around looking for stuff to do. And Faisal was like, oh, I'm going to go see Eric Andre talk about psychedelics at like 2 p.m. And I was like, you know what? That sounds interesting enough. It's something to do.
It's Eric Andre talking about psychedelics.
Exactly.
It's like the perfect combo.
So me, him, and Zach headed to the convention center. And we had these platinum passes. And because of that, we could get into like anything we wanted. And we could like skip the line into anything. It was strange, but I'll get to that later.
That's cool.
So we get to this Eric Andre convention like an hour and a half early because we had nothing else to do. And we're like, you know what? We're going to get front row seats if we're going to go to this thing.
Cool.
And so we got there super early. The convention before us is still going on. And the people are like, you have these platinum passes. You can just go right in to this convention happening beforehand. And then when the Eric Andre one starts, you can just walk up to the front. And we're like, sure. You know, like whatever. We got nothing else to do. So we go in and sit down, not knowing what this convention is. And it's Robert Downey Jr. talking about cybersecurity.
What?
And so we like accidentally saw Robert Downey Jr., which was pretty cool,
That's
I will
awesome.
Say. That being said, I don't think Robert Downey Jr. is qualified to give a convention on on cybersecurity.
Interesting.
So I don't know. My guess is most people in that crowd were there to see Iron Man.
Well, of course. Who wouldn't be there?
Yeah, so was I. It's a story to tell. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty cool, I will say. It was pretty cool. I called my mom afterwards. I was like, I saw Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. Then we saw Eric Andre talk.
Yeah.
And I don't know how true this is, but apparently he's been going to South by Southwest for years. Now, like,
really?
Since it started, like, he's, like, not, like,
that.
A founding member, but he's just been around the scene forever. And so he hates what it's become, like, all, like, the money-grabbing. And you could tell he did not want to be there.
Really?
And so this panel, it was a super cool panel. It was this one woman who had, she was, like, the ambassador of something, not the ambassador of psychedelics, but the ambassador of something. And she went up and she talked about, like, you know, the stigmatization of, like, psychedelics and the war on drugs and gave, like, this super interesting talk. And Eric Andre was kind of up there like, oh, yeah, like, I do mushrooms, I do DMT, like, I do ketamine.
That is exactly how I pictured that.
It was pretty funny. It was entertaining. I will give him that.
Mm-hmm. Anything with Eric Andre is bound to be.
The best bit he came up with was the Zendayagram.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Because he was talking about Euphoria, and he was like, I don't know, like, what the main actress's name is. And then someone was like, oh, like, her name is Zendaya, like, in the crowd yelled out. And he was like, oh, I'm going to need, like, a Zen diagram to, like, figure out her name.
I can hear this in his voice right now, and it sounds hilarious.
I'm pretty sure he was, like, he looked stoned, I will say. It wouldn't surprise me.
He did look a little stoned in the picture that Faisal sent me.
Yeah. But it was overall, it was a pretty good talk he gave. I didn't learn a lot from him. Not that I expected to.
Hmm.
But it was entertaining for not having paid anything out of pocket. And then Faisal got his picture with him and all was good.
Faisal sent me that. I'm like, that's it. Peak of humanity right there. This is what it's all about.
We were going to have him do the legal ID for the station, but we forgot.
Mm.
And plus it would have been weird to like hold a phone in his face and be like, can you say like 91.7 Connecticut Sound Alternative?
Oh my God. Can you imagine that?
That would be a pretty good legal ID we would have had.
That's a flex.
Yeah.
Having Eric Andre do that.
And we disliked the panel enough to like not go to any other ones after that,
yeah,
just because we kind of realized it was just kind of a bunch of garbage.
You're not there for panels,
exactly.
Man. You're there for music and the checkout to see what Austin
and
has
so,
to offer.
On Friday, we had gone to the bars and just, you know, kind of walked around to see what was going on. And Saturday, we did the same before going to a bar where Eric Andre was going to do a stand-up act afterwards.
Oh,
and so
man.
We get there and the line was really long and I had been out all day and I was like, it's Eric Andre. He's a smart guy. He's probably, like, his stand-up act is probably going to consist of making fun of people with platinum passes and talking about how awful South by Southwest
that
is.
That is true.
And so I was
he's
like,
he's going to see you guys there and be like, oh, it's you fuckers again.
Exactly.
Stop following me.
And so I was like, you know what? Like, the music festival starts in 2 days. I'm just going to go, I'm going to go back to the apartment and, like, go to sleep. At this point, it was like 10 or 11. So it was pretty late. And so I did that. And everyone who stayed came back later was like, man, like that sucked. The whole time Eric Andre was just complaining about platinum passes and how terrible South by Southwest was.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, yeah, I knew
told
it. So, yeah, I knew it. But like, you know, even Faisal was pretty disappointed with it, which was interesting.
Really?
So.
Damn.
But you know what?
Yeah.
It was whatever.
Nice.
And then until the music festival started, we saw some really cool premieres for films. There was this one international film called Sister and Sister. I'm pretty sure it was Celia's idea out there to
to
it. And it was a good little indie movie. It was just about two sisters like bonding and trying to find their parents. Zach came with us and he did not like it at all. He thought it was a bunch of garbage.
I can picture that.
Which doesn't surprise me. I thought it was pretty good.
I can picture him just stone-faced saying, garbage.
Mm. I think his words were he walked out and we were all like, I think it was me, Celia, and Zoo, and Faisal was there too. We were all like, that was like a really like good, heartwarming movie. And Zach was like, that's the worst movie I've ever seen. Like, it was terrible.
That's
we
how
like, okay.
That's how I felt after having to watch Under the Skin for Humanities. I was like, what the hell did I just watch?
Me and Emil were talking about those Humanities movies. We watched Eighth Grade, which we enjoyed.
Really?
But there was one we just hated. I don't even know what it was. It was all, like, British humor and
oh,
stuff.
Oh, God. Speaking of British humor, I was in a class the other day that comparative politics, say, and we had to watch a Monty Python, The Holy Grail.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I love that because
my
back in high school, we did one of our school musicals was Monty Python Spamalot. So they're doing the whole scene. I'm like, oh my God, I know the entire dialogue of this.
Were you a theater kid?
In the pit.
I was the drummer.
Okay. I have the crack headiness to be a theater kid. Mm.
I was friends
say.
With all the theater kids. I could not go on stage and sing or perform. I
was
asked to by the teacher who was leading it, and I was like, sorry.
Not gonna happen. If I saw you at a musical, that would be pretty funny.
I would probably be shaking the whole time on stage, like, forgetting my lines. All right, I'll skip to the exciting part, because I'm trying to remember what we did on Sunday night, and I can't. So it probably wasn't that exciting, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So the music started, and that's when, like...
Yeah, let's hear about the music.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to hear
about
this.
So I really wanted to go see New Order on Monday night, I think it was.
They were Monday night, really?
They were Monday night, yeah. And they were, like, the headline. Like, they're, like, the big band that was playing.
Yeah.
But some other people had tried to go see Thundercat, which...
Ooh.
I've never heard of anything Thundercat-related, but...
I know Them Changes, that's it.
Mm.
Good tune.
And they were one of, like, the bigger acts playing.
Yeah.
And some people got in line, and it literally was like two blocks down the street. And they were like, you guys are not going to get into these bigger acts.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right. So like, while we're here, we need to focus on like the smaller bands and stuff. Because realistically, that's probably all we're going to get into.
Yeah.
And so on Monday night, there was this one set I wanted to go to called Tokyo Rising. And it was a bunch of bands from like Japan who were playing in the States for the first time. And I was like, I'm going to this act. If anyone wants to join me, you're welcome to.
Yeah.
So Zach and Andre, you know Andre? He's the multimedia director.
Yeah, I know Andre.
They both came with me, and me and Zach agree. I have to ask Andre, because he saw some other cool sets, too. We thought it was, like, the best live act we had ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. So we saw these three bands.
Tell me about it. This
was called,
very interesting.
One was called Pop, believe it or not, from Japan.
Really?
P.O.T.
Hmm.
And they were kind of just, like, straight Japanese pop punk.
Cool.
I have my playlist here.
That sounds awesome.
They had great energy, and they, you know... for playing. You could not tell it was their first time playing in the States. They looked like they had it down to like a science.
Wow.
They were really good. And it was nothing like special, but like, you know.
It was just fun.
Yeah. And they couldn't, they didn't know anything in English. The one word they knew was mosh pit. So one of their guitar players like put their guitar down and started like pushing people.
Like I said, what were the pits like at South by Southwest?
I don't mean to go on a tangent here, but what I will say about South by Southwest is the crowds did not have great energy.
Really?
Because the only ones who can afford these tickets are like 30, 40, 50-year-olds.
Oh, God.
We were like the youngest ones there with these platinum passes, and I could tell like some
people...
You guys
were the young ones.
Yeah, because a lot of these venues were 21+, so some of us like just made the cutoff.
Mm.
And I could tell like some people looked at like us having these passes, like older people who would... you know, get sent to the back of the line, we'd get in front, and they'd be like, these kids probably have, like, rich parents, like, what the fuck, like, they're probably spoiled rotten, when in reality, we kind of accidentally got them through Wuss.
Yeah.
So shout out to Wuss for that.
Heck yeah.
But no, they had great energy, and then we saw this other band called the Tiva, and they were kind of, like, more shoegazy, kind of, like, more indie rock, but you could tell it was their first time playing in the States, and they had to do their sound check in front of everyone.
Oh, that's
and you could
be
tell they were terrified. Like, they were literally, like, shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was also, what's it called, the language barrier, too, because they couldn't speak English, and they were trying to communicate with the sound people who were on the other side of the venue.
Ooh.
So it was, I felt pretty bad for them. But they rocked it. They did great.
Good.
So one thing that made Zach mad is the lead singer and the guitar player would put her capo on and then tune with her capo on. And Zach got, like, mad. He got pretty angry about it. So
yeah, I don't think that's something you're supposed to do. Not that I know about, you know, guitar playing or capos or whatnot.
Yeah.
But that doesn't sound right.
I feel like it didn't look right. But
it doesn't.
But they played a good set.
Cool.
And this last band we saw, they were called, what were they called? Something crazy. Backdrop Cinderella.
Ooh,
and me and Zach
like
agree. Me and Zach agree it was like the best set we've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah. We think that every member of the band was probably on like cocaine or meth because they had a lot of energy and their lead singer looked
bloodshot.
Well, he kind of looked like Mick Jagger in like the 80s.
Ooh.
You know, kind of like dried out a little bit.
Yeah.
And so
but Mick Jagger in the 80s still had a fuckload of energy.
I know, exactly. So did this guy too. I mean, so did these guys. And they started out with like this pop punk little lick, and then it went right into like this Japanese pop punk ska, and it was such a crazy sound.
That sounds so cool.
And the lead singer, the crowd was all like 40 and 50 years old, jumped in, like stage dived like 3 times, and you could tell he like caught everyone by surprise, and he was climbing on like the side of the wall.
Wow.
And there was this one time where he just like jumped up and down and did a split like 8 consecutive times while singing.
That's...
And we're like, dude, this guy must like run marathons or something because his cardio is unmatched. And so it was a great set overall.
The amount of cocaine this man must have been
on. I was going to say, he definitely...
He was on something.
Yeah. Yeah. That or he's just... drinks a lot of coffee or has a lot of energy. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was quite a set. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
And after that, we called it a night. And for the rest of the week, we just kept seeing other sets.
Nice.
The next day... what do we do on Tuesday? I forget who I saw on the day. I was going to go to a ska show, which I was so excited for, like straight like ska, pop punk. But I ended up passing out at a show earlier.
What?
Because I was not intoxicated, I will say.
Was it just the heat or whatever?
It was heat. We had been walking around, and where our rental house was, it was a 45-minute walk to the city, which we were making every day.
Oh, my God.
I was not drinking enough water, and I remember like we saw a show. What were they called? I didn't even want to see it that bad. I was just with Faisal, so I don't even remember the name of the artist. Their set ended, and I remember being like, damn, like I'm pretty tired and my legs hurt.
What time was this at?
It was early. It was like 8. Yeah. And so, and then I remember like being like having my eyes closed and being like, damn, like I just got solid, like an 8 solid hours of really good sleep. And then I heard someone be like, medic, medic. And I was like, oh, fuck. I just passed out on this, on the floor.
Oh,
then I got right
God.
Back up and went back to the house and slept and drank water.
Hmm.
But Wednesday was my favorite day, the day after.
Let's hear
it was
this.
The coolest day. So I slept in that day, got up at like 10. We went to a show at 12 that Zoo wanted to go to see this band called Portrayal of Guilt. They're like this kind of like technical death metal screamo band. And so they were playing as a part of like a record label like concert set. I think it was Run for Cover Records. And so we just saw 3 great like alternative bands play.
Nice.
The first band we saw, the lead singer and guitar player was literally Cooper. Like, looked identical really? To Cooper. We were like, that's like emo Cooper on stage.
I finally saw Cooper the other night.
Mm. So. I saw him too, actually, at the library the other day.
I saw him Monday night. He was coming out of the library. I was going in.
Nice, nice. Yeah. And then, what's it called? So we saw them, and then we saw Portrayal of Guilt, which was an awesome set. And at that point, we were like, you know, we're going to go back to the house for an hour, take a nap, eat, did that. And then we went to this amazing set later in the day at a church, of all places.
A church?
We were going to see this artist, Indigo D'Souza.
Oh, yeah. And, I remember Faisal mentioning Indigo.
Yeah, no. And so we saw some artists play before her, and it was all just very, very atmospheric and beautiful. Wow. One of the artists, I forget her name, but it was like straight jazz piano.
Nice.
And it was really interesting. And so essentially, we just saw this beautiful show at this beautiful church. It was very, like, emotional. We were sitting down. We were, like, chilled out. And then Faisal and I walked 10 minutes down the street and saw this band called, like, Pigs, 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 Pigs. Play straight, like, stoner doom metal for 45 minutes after that.
What a contrast. But that sounds like a wonderful, wonderful experience.
But that really is the thing about South by Southwest is you just walk in and out of these venues, these bars, and you just see different, like, different genres,
That's
different
so
artists
cool.
you haven't heard of before. And it's a cool dynamic as opposed to like Coachella, where you're, you know, going from stage to stage.
Yeah.
You're going from bar to bar. So it's like the entire venue changes, which is pretty cool, I will say.
I like the sound of this.
And then Thursday, we saw a Portrayal of Guilt again because we wanted to see him again.
Oh, they played multiple times.
They played like 5 times throughout week. Yeah. So we saw him. I saw him twice. Me and Zach saw him twice. Zoo saw him 3 times. And so we saw them again. Saw another band called Military Gun play. And then at night we saw this band called Otoboke Beaver, which was like this all-girl like Japanese grindcore band.
Japanese grindcore.
Yeah, it was very interesting, I will say. And I think that was the last set I saw that weekend.
Cool.
And then Friday I was so exhausted. I was like, I can do no more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically it in a nutshell, I will say. Yeah.
That sounds like a hell of a week you had.
I've got this big playlist of all the acts we saw.
Send that my way, man. I'm going to check some of this
stuff. I think it's
going to
get posted on the Wiz Spotify.
Oh, heck yeah.
I won't send you this one just because I have like 25 hours worth of songs.
Holy shit.
But I'm working on like a deeper cut one of like some of the better songs we saw.
Yeah, cool, cool.
Very interesting overall. I will say it's like a lot of it wasn't music I would go out of the way to see, but that's what was so cool about it.
Yeah, you're there to explore. You know?
Exactly.
Well, hopefully the station keeps doing this. Maybe I'll go down there.
I think so. Oh, it's definitely worth applying.
I would... Definitely. Once I'm 21, I'm in.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I would say wait until you're 21, not even because of drinking or whatnot, because we barely drank or anything just because we were so exhausted and dehydrated. It's like we couldn't even like stomach, at least I couldn't even stomach the thought of alcohol. But a lot of the venues are like 21 plus.
Gotcha.
So
I'll keep that in mind.
I'll just
see
if you get kicked out of that.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that was my spring break.
That sounds like a hell of a spring break.
It's a lot. I've had to explain the whole thing to, like, 3 different people so far, and so much happened, I, like, forget. It's like, oh, I saw, like, this band and that band, and I walked.
Yeah.
And that was...
Sounds like a lot of walking. 45 minutes?
There and back. We eventually Ubered, like, in the second half of the week, but for the first few days, we were just walking
minutes,
places.
That's got to be... That had to have been a brutal walking.
It was like, a straight line, and there were no hills. Yeah. So, actually, some of it was downhill.
That's nice.
It was cool, though, because we were kind of in, like, the suburb area.
Yeah.
So we would, like, walk into the city.
Yeah.
And it would be kind of a cool transition.
Kind of like taking a pilgrimage, in a way.
Exactly.
How was the heat down there?
First day was pretty hot. First day was, like, 70, 80. And then after that, it was kind of like yesterday.
Really?
Where there'd be a little bit of wind.
That was nice.
You could wear shorts. You could wear a hoodie.
Yeah.
It was kind of whatever you wanted. The venues would get hot. The venues would get very, very hot. But there was some other cool stuff we did within the city. I know Zoo took us to like a vintage clothes store. I bought some shirts from there.
Cool.
We went record shopping, of course.
Yeah.
And we found this awesome fast food place called P. Terry's.
P. Terry's.
Where you could get a double cheeseburger and like a large fry and a drink for $7.
Mm-hmm.
So for those
of us
who were struggling with money, it was kind of ideal.
I'm guessing you were one of them.
Actually, I did a very good job spending on this
trip.
Yeah. If anything, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to anyway. We got like a stipend for food.
I remember you telling me that.
If anything, I made money on it as opposed to spending. Yeah, no.
You made money on
it. I think so.
How
I also passed out halfway through the trip, so there was a trade-off. So.
that means you were having a good time.
Exactly. I will say, what's it called? There were some people who did spend all their money. I won't name name. I'll do it after the show.
I'll make some bets.
I think you could probably guess. You can make a realistic guess.
Yeah, and I could. I think I might know what he might have been spending it on.
I think you know exactly who I'm talking about and exactly what the cause of it was.
Did it have to do with a convention, the psychedelics convention?
No, but you're very close. I'm sure.
All right, then I know who you're talking about, yes. And I know what they spent it on.
Yes, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh man,
it was kind of funny. I will be honest. It was kind of funny.
That's amazing.
So how was your break? Let's go.
All right, here we go. The Stark family St. Pete beach trip. Well, first things were crazy before we even took off because I got stopped at TSA for
really?
One of those random security checks.
Oh, did they take you like into a different room or was
they
it just,
offered to, but I'm just like, get it done right here. Because what happened was I went through the thing and started beeping. I'm like, ah, crap. I don't know what it was. My fly must have been a bit down. Like, yeah, we got to do the full pat down. As they're explaining it, I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to do this. So they do all that. And I'm like, well, that was awkward.
I've had that happen to me on like three separate occasions.
Really?
Maybe even it got to a point where I would go to the airport, I would just kind of assume I was going to get patted down.
Usually it happens to my dad because, you know, I don't know, long haired, deadhead, stigmatism.
Yeah.
So I get done with that. He high fives me and goes, "Welcome to the club." So after some flight delays, we make it down. I tell you, this Tampa airport was a zoo, man.
Really? Have I been to the Tampa airport before?
So, no.
I think I have, like, I've walked through it years ago.
There was,
ago.
Like, so many flight delays or whatever, so we get off, you know, we get our rental car, blast some tunes, heading to St. Pete, and it was a pretty fun, chill week. Like, that Sunday, we went kayaking down at Fort DeSoto Park. My bucket hat went in the drink at one point.
Oh.
My blue Yukon bucket hat, so I had to fish that out, but kayaking was very cool, although I did get very sunburnt. I have the picture here. I had the absolute worst sandals tan. You'll see.
I've had some pretty bad sunburns before.
Yeah, here we go. I think this sums it up.
Oh my God.
I know, because what happened
was brutal.
I didn't put any sunscreen on my legs
or
feet.
Never put sunscreen.
And I was kayaking, so my legs were just, you know, they were out like this in the blazing sun or whatnot.
Here, I'm going to try and find a picture of my worst sunburn ever. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I have it.
Let's see what we got here. Let's
see if I can find it.
Oh, I'm scared for this.
Yeah, this is...
Oh. Oh,
like,
my God.
I had to stay in bed. I had to, like, lay in bed for 2 days after that while we were on vacation.
I remember when I got back from kayaking that day after, like, we were hanging out at Treasure Island Beach, too. We got back, and I'm like, guys, my legs are on fire right now. And they were like, ah, you idiot. But
that's why I can only go to the beach for, like, a day at a time before on
a
trip. It's, like, one day on, one day off.
Yeah. But it's not like we were on, like, the beach all day. Like, we'd be on, like, 3-4 hours. But, you know, that was, like, you know, most of this trip, you know, hanging out down there at the beach, like Treasure Island Beach, St. Pete Beach, a couple different ones. It's a very cool happening area. But what I did love, we went down into downtown St. Petersburg one day, and that is a cool freaking city, man. There's just so much art on all of the buildings everywhere. Oh, my God. It's a beacon of light in
Interesting.
Florida. You know, for a state that says don't say gay, St. Petersburg tells you to shout it from the mountains.
That's kind of like Austin, too, I will say.
Yeah, it is like Austin.
Basically, was like Brooklyn in the
really?
South. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, St. Pete is really cool. A lot of craft breweries down there. A lot of cool places to hang out and stuff. And it was just... Yeah, it was really fun checking out. I'm like, damn, I could really see myself being down here. Even like some of the suburbs aren't too bad. And of course, you know, on the water, the beach, it's really nice. So it was a nice break heading down there, man, because I hadn't been down in 5 years. And then when I get to my grandparents' apartment, I go on the balcony, you know, looking at the view. I'm like, huh, it's like I never left at all. So it was a fun trip.
I will say, what's it called? I thought traveling would like exhaust me.
Yeah.
And like it did, like, you know, traveling for spring break in between the semester. But also kind of like rejuvenated me in a way, you know? It's like you come back here, you're excited, you know, you have some energy.
Yeah, man.
Staying, and then I got back to my apartment and I was like, fuck, like here we are again.
Yeah. That was like me coming up on Sunday. Hell, even when I walked out of the airport coming back on Thursday night, because like we didn't get back to like 11 something or whatever, and I was wearing jorts, and I walk out, I'm like, oh, this is cold, man. This is so cold. I can't do this.
I will say, I'm happy, at least from our end, that we made it without, like, any delays or stuff, because I've been hearing, like, horror stories recently about the airlines.
Yeah. Because here's what happened with our delays. This was weird. So, 10 a.m., our flight was, like, 1:55, gets delayed to, like, 3:30. Then, this was weird. I had never seen this before. It went from 3:30, but then moved up to 3.
Really?
Yeah, and my
was that good or bad? Just
well,
sometimes
it's good, but we were trying to figure out, wait a minute. Like, is this, like, normal?
Yeah.
Because you think, like, once they delay it, they're not going to move it back at all.
Exactly,
so then we're like, shit, what do we do now? So we get to the airport and stuff, and then we see it gets delayed to 4 o'clock. But, yeah, so there was a lot of waiting around. And I think what happened was, like, there was some sort of, like, winter storm in the Midwest, Thursday and Friday, that threw everything off.
Really?
Like, I don't think it was, like, a weather-related issue as much as they were saying some about, like, low fog or something. Everything just got so backed up.
It's really?
Like, yeah. But the flights themselves were very smooth. I got to watch Space Jam on the way down.
Which one, the first or the second?
First one, obviously.
Not the Big Chungus one.
No, not the Big Chungus one. They only had the first one available. I'm like, hey, I'll take it. But who needs Big Chungus when you have Newman? So
there you go.
That was I forgot that Bill Murray was in it too.
Yeah, UConn's finest.
Oh my
Number
god,
one
they
UConn
kept
fan.
Speaking of UConn, let's get into UConn basketball.
Into March Madness.
March Madness.
All right. This may or may not be an unpopular opinion, and I am going to knock on wood before I say this.
Yeah.
At this point in the tournament, I feel like we look like the best team.
We've been looking good.
Yeah.
Sonogo is the leading scorer in the entire tournament for the
Madden. Hawkins, I remember last game, what was it, St. Mary's. I was saying, like, Hawkins only had, like, 2 points, and I was like, Hawkins, like, the best player on this team, you know, like, he's going to carry us to the championship, whatever. And he went from having 2 points to making like 3 back-to-back 3-pointers, and I was like,
"I'm so mad because I didn't get to see the St. Mary's game because I was at the Daily Campus and stuff. I saw the first round versus Iona.
I didn't see it. It was the opposite for me. I didn't see that one. I saw
the Iona game was interesting because the first half was back and forth. There were a bunch of momentum swings. We were down by 2 going into the half. Hawkins was cold. Newton was cold. We were like, "Shit, what do we do?" Then like we come out Hawkins drains a 3, and I'm like, okay, here we go, and we scored 50.
The St. Mary's game too. I mean, we were up by 1 at the half, I think.
Yeah, and then like blew it open the second.
Yeah.
What I liked about the Iona game was that Jackson was on fire. He was playing so inspired. You don't see it in his stat line, but if you watch him, oh my, he was playing with fire, man, and he had this one dunk in the first half. It's like,
What's it called? I didn't even recognize him with his new hairstyle.
Yeah, he's been doing the cornrows.
He's what's it called? He's kind of like a, I don't want to say a silent leader on the team because I don't want to diminish his role.
Yeah,
but he definitely, his stats don't speak to his contribution on
the
court.
Exactly. He does so much out there. You're not going to see it in the stat line, but if you watch, you know that Jackson's the man out there. And Sonogo has been lighting it up in the paint, man.
His post work looks good. I mean, I know he was struggling towards the middle of the season with like getting shots off in time.
He's been playing he's playing at a very high level, and they're going to need that tomorrow night. We're playing Arkansas, and that is going to be a tough game, but it's going to
be
insane.
But I feel, I don't know, they beat Kansas. I'd rather play Arkansas than Kansas.
Of course.
I mean, yeah.
Well, because like, what scares me about Arkansas, like, they just, it doesn't matter. They got ice in their veins, man. Like, last year in the Sweet 16, they were the ones who took down Gonzaga.
Really?
Who were, like, the overall favorites to win the thing.
Okay.
This year, they took down Kansas, you know, who was the defending champion.
Number one seed, yeah.
The Arkansas-Kansas game was wild. I was bowling that night, and I pretty much got to see all of it. And I'm like, all right, come on, Arkansas, take Kansas down. Because with facing up against Arkansas, from my understanding with Arkansas, they're good, but inconsistent. That's what I've been reading here.
Okay.
So,
I feel like that might be good for us because we've been playing consistently.
Arkansas put all their energy into beating Kansas.
I certainly hope so. I mean, we seemed to beat St. Mary pretty easily, I will say.
Yeah.
It didn't look like we were trying too hard in the second half.
Like, it's still going to be a very hard fuck game.
Yeah.
It's going to be no cakewalk. I mean, it's a Sweet 16. You're not going to get that.
What's it called? I watched the entirety of the Purdue game.
Oh my god.
That was a good game.
I'm so mad because I was at an open jam the night, sitting in with a band. I was So I'm like, all right, let me check the scores and see what happens. The first thing I see when I go on ESPN, it's like, Fairleigh Dickinson has Purdue on the ropes. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? I refresh, and it was after the game was over. I see the score. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. What?
What's it called? Is someone trying to get in? Oh, someone might be trying to get in.
Okay.
We might be getting booted to studio. All right, so we got kicked out of Studio B, but we're in a different studio now.
So here we are, Studio C. Right back into it. So Purdue versus FDU. Now, you saw that game. Why?
I did.
You got to watch it. Tell me about it.
Yeah, let me get this. All right, I'll try and adjust this as best I can. What's it called? Why is this audio?
I don't know.
Check. And it's so loud. Maybe we got to turn it down on here a little bit.
Good idea. I don't want to fuck this up. Technical difficulties, folks.
Check. All right, that'll be good enough for now.
Yeah,
I think we'll
fix it in post.
The audio later, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was watching it with everyone on the South by Southwest trip, and I was trying to explain it to everyone. Guys, like, this is a number one seed.
This is huge.
I was like, this is history. And no one else got as excited as I did.
If I was there, I would have been super hyped with you.
I literally was, like, yelling at the TV. I was like, let's fucking go. A lot of people probably thought I had a lot of toxic masculinity.
Damn.
It's March Madness.
March Madness is amazing.
You gotta go crazy.
That was basically me during the Princeton versus Arizona game.
Which I did not see. My dad texted me. He was like, did you hear about the Arizona game? I was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh.
I saw the second half in the airport because I was keeping track of the score. Because I got one of my best friends from back home. He goes to Princeton, and one of his roommates is a freshman on the team.
Oh.
He's hurt right now, but he was like, you know, actually, you know, getting some time, you know, like January, February and stuff.
Okay.
So I was rooting for the upset there, even though I picked Arizona to go to the championship.
Who do you have winning?
UCLA. They scare me, man.
Won't we play them in the
likely
because we make it to the Elite Eight?
So with our region, the West region, so the Sweet 16, it's UConn versus Arkansas, and then UCLA versus Gonzaga.
Oh.
That's going to be something.
Those are too tough. Okay.
I know. Either one is going to be tough. But Gonzaga just ticks me off. Just tick me off.
I don't know. I feel like they're overrated, too, because they play in a – I don't want to say they play in an easy conference, but
they
not.
Do play in a two-bit conference. It's the same one that St. Mary's is from.
Yeah.
But
so definitely, either
one's going to be incredibly tough, especially too, because UCLA versus Gonzaga, I think that's a Final Four rematch. I think it was like 2 years ago or whatever when Gonzaga went to the final and lost to Baylor. They beat UCLA.
Want to make some March Madness predictions before the games start tomorrow?
Hell yes. Let me pull some up.
I got a bracket right here if we want to look at it.
And one other thing before predictions, if we're going to talk about other teams who are making a run, FAU, Florida Atlantic, my dad's alma mater, is in the Sweet 16. It's so crazy because, like,
what a seed are they? I'm trying to look for them.
They're a 9 seed, and
they're playing Tennessee.
They're in the East region. It's so funny because, like, they were the ones who played FDU. It was FAU versus FDU.
FDU? Is that
somewhere in Jersey? It's like a two-bit school in Jersey. And I was conflicted because, like, you know, I was rooting for FAU. You know, my dad went there and stuff. Wanted to see them, but the other part of me was like, damn, if FDU can make this run. But, like, I mean, Princeton is still in the Sweet 16, which is insane. If they make it to the Elite Eight, that's 2 years in a row, a number 15 seed from New Jersey.
I'm liking these underdog stories. What was that, the one school with the nun, the really old lady?
The nun?
That was years ago. It might have been like 5 years ago at this point.
5 years.
Was it like Chicago? It was like Chicago Loyola or
something. It might have been Loyola Chicago,
because
I was watching some the other day and I saw some Loyola Chicago.
As soon as they made it to the Final Four, I feel like these lower seeds have been performing better.
I think what you're seeing, like the talent gap between, you know, the higher seeds and lower seeds, at least for the men, it's shrinking, which means we're going to get more upsets and just even more craziness in March. Like, you don't see it with the women yet.
That's true.
But there were some upsets in the women. Two number one seeds have gone down, Stanford and Indiana.
UConn's looking fine still.
Yeah, UConn women are looking good. AZ Fudd, I think it was on Monday night, had like 22 points or something. She had herself a game.
One of my friends said that this is probably Gino's best coaching season since like his entire team
really
has been like hurt.
Yeah,
still a number two seed playing.
Yeah, and they're still good. I'll tell you what, Next year, if they can stay healthy, I think they're winning it all.
Oh, Paige Becker's back?
Oh, yeah.
Hell, yeah. She's going to be back for, like,
Paige,
vengeance.
Paige, AZ, Nika, Aaliyah, Ice Brady, they are going to be on
Paige
a tear.
Paige hasn't played since her freshman year, right?
I don't think she has. No, she played sophomore year. She started, then got hurt with, like, a knee thing.
Okay.
Came back, though, when, you know, they went to the championship, but then South Carolina, which they are, South Carolina is still on a tear right now. They scare me. So... anywho, so that's the recap. I'm pulling up ESPN here right now. Start with the Thursday games. Number 7 Michigan State versus number 3 Kansas State.
I've heard Michigan State is on a tear recently.
They are on a tear recently.
Is that still Tom Izzo's team? Is he still coaching?
I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know much about them. Yeah, I don't.
Let's see if Tom Izzo's still.
Let's find out here. What are people saying? Michigan State is the betting favorite. But only by a bit. This is going to be an interesting game.
Tom Izzo definitely has the experience. I mean, Michigan State has experience on their side.
Yeah.
And Kansas State.
Let me see who Kansas State has beaten thus far. They beat Kentucky. That's pretty big.
I was thinking about Kentucky. I haven't heard much about them in
five years. Well, last year they were the ones who lost to St. Peter's in the first round.
Oh, the first round. Okay.
But Michigan State did... all of us at UConn a big favor by defeating Marquette.
I was so happy. Dude, who ended up winning the Big East this year?
It was Marquette.
That's Marquette.
And when I saw that they were losing and they went down, I was so freaking happy,
for like,
man.
10 points too.
Yeah, it was big.
Honestly, I mean, they beat. They might make it to the Final Four. Honestly, Michigan State.
Yeah, so I would pick them to win this team. Talking about the Big East, here's. Most overrated team in the Big East this year, because I have an answer to this. 1,000% without a doubt, Xavier.
Really? You think they're overrated?
I think they're overrated. Mm. They're good, but I don't think they should get the hype they deserve.
Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of them outside of them playing UConn.
Yeah, me neither.
Were they ranked higher than us in the top 25?
Yeah, it went back and forth for a while. Like they climbed for a while. And
okay.
Marquette was at the top, and, watching them, like, they were good, too.
Mm.
Well, like, you know, I don't think they deserved the hype,
no. And
now they're down. All right, let's see. Next game up. Oh, UConn versus Arkansas. Well.
I got to go UConn.
Here. I think it's going to be a tough game. A lot of people are hyped about the coaching matchup with Hurley versus that Arkansas coach is, like, he's a nut, too.
Is he really? He's crazy.
Imagine
they get into a fight or something like that.
That would be insane. Cause
that'd be crazy.
I don't know if you saw, after beating Kansas, the Arkansas coach, he took his shirt off. Eric Musselman. Yeah,
that's funny.
He is insane, but he's great. But
do you know who scares me is Houston. I think they might be in it to win it.
They're certainly in it to win it. Oh. Yeah, UConn there. FAU versus Tennessee. FAU, I love you. I'll be rooting for you, but you're 9 seed against the 4. Tennessee did beat Duke,
and
so many people were picking Duke. And I just want to take this time to talk about the worst bracket I saw, and it was made by Barack Obama.
Who did he have winning?
He had Duke winning. Not only that, he had Iona beating UConn in the first round. Like, I saw this, I'm like, this is the most hot garbage bracket I've ever seen. Although Biden's women's bracket wasn't better.
Obama bracket.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking up here.
What is it, 2023?
Barack Obama's 2023 brackets. He had Duke versus Houston in the final.
I feel like Houston is a good pick, but
Houston is
Duke.
A good pick. But yeah, a lot of people had Duke going so far, but like they're so overrated.
Had Baylor. Was that? I can't even.
Yeah,
Baylor.
Oh,
yeah, Baylor.
We'll get into Bama in a bit. Baylor, hate them. They're overrated too. They lost to Creighton. Creighton's still alive. They're even though they're Big East.
Nebraska.
I don't mind Creighton as much as some of the other Big East teams.
No, Creighton's from Nebraska, so I've always liked them.
Yeah,
they seem like they've always seemed like a fairly modest team.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. Like I don't hate them. Like I hate like
it's a small school. They have like 1,000 kids go to Creighton. It's a small school.
I don't hate them. Like I hate Xavier, and especially not as much as I hate Villanova.
No, fuck Villanova.
So yeah, FAU versus Tennessee. I think I got to go Tennessee here. We'll see. And then here we go. Gonzaga versus UCLA.
Let's see who they've played so far.
Gonzaga.
Northwestern.
Yeah, let's see. Gonzaga has played GCU and TCU.
Okay.
Which, whatever. They scrape by TCU. UCLA, yeah, I mean, they've both, you know, they're higher seeds. They face off schedules, but this, I got to go UCLA here, I think.
Say, I think I have to second that.
I can see Gonzaga winning it, but I just think UCLA, I've watched some of them. They scare me, man.
Are they, like, young? Are they athletic? Or what?
They're just something about them. You just feel it. You know what I mean? So those are the Thursday games. Let's look at Friday's lineup. Alabama versus San Diego
State. Let's
talk
about Alabama for a second. Yeah. Have you heard about all this?
Brandon Miller, yeah.
What? I heard something about someone got killed. Someone gave someone a gun.
And like, he supplied the firearm, okay, supposedly. And, you know, the school hasn't done shit about it, which, well, I'm not surprised.
My mom thinks, and my mom is no sports analyst, mm-hmm, but she predicts that Alabama's going to do the tournament, and if they don't win,
ooh,
the law is going to come down on this kid.
Honestly,
kick him to the curb.
That's some good analysis.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people, he's showing up in a lot of NBA mock drafts. Ooh, I've been reading in the top 10.
I wonder if that has anything. I mean, I'm sure that has something to do with it.
Oh, of course it does.
I wonder if they're going to protect him.
I don't know. Because he's like a freshman, too, or something.
Really?
He's
young. Have you seen the mock draft for this year?
I've been looking at some lately.
It's all like 18 and 19-year-olds.
Yeah.
If you're like 20 years old, you're not going to get drafted. Like, Sonogo probably will never get drafted because he's too old at this point.
I've been seeing UConn players going in drafts.
I know Hawkins is like top 20.
People have been putting Hawkins high. I still think Sonogo's gonna end up getting drafted. I think.
Really, you do?
I do think so. Or
I think he's gonna stay back for another year. Actually,
really?
Yeah.
Who? I have no idea what this team's gonna look like next year. It's gonna be very interesting with the men.
We'll have Klingon and Karaban, and they'll develop for a few years.
Oh my god!
Those two are
gonna be an unstoppable duo.
And I don't know who we have for like freshmen this year, or other than them, who?
Yeah,
freshmen.
I don't really know either. But it's gonna be interesting. But yeah, I have been reading some of the mock drafts there. So we'll see what happens there.
I think Sonogo needs to get like quicker if he wants to be on an NBA team. I can see him being like a second round pick.
Yeah, I could see him. I think second round is most likely. But yeah, though Hawkins and Sonogo have been the two guys I've most seen. There's been some with Andre Jackson there,
which I think is
a solid pick.
The biggest thing he has going against him is his stats, unfortunately. Yeah, but he's someone who could develop.
The tape doesn't lie. And I think Sonogo, if you develop him right,
he'd
be a beast.
I think so, too. I mean, we have NBA-ready players.
Yeah, we do.
I hope they get the chance.
I hope so, too. I don't have, like, a real particular allegiance to anyone, so I'll root for wherever they go, man.
Exactly. Yeah, let's look at these NBA mock draft real
quick. Yeah,
let's...
Little deviation.
I remember
here.
Looking at it. Yeah, I don't mean to.
No, it's fine, man. We got time. We're good.
I remember being shocked because I know there's Victor Wembanyama.
Well, yeah, he's got to be consensus number one. All right. Let's see. Here's one March 8th from NBA.com.
His mock draft says 7'4" Durant, bigger, better than
7'4" Durant. Fuck Kevin Durant. Yeah. He played 3 games with the Suns and he's hurt again. And, you know, it's a shame because, like, him and Devin Booker were on fire.
I've been watching a lot of Ben Simmons hate videos recently.
Oh,
I'm
no.
I'm not a fan of Ben Simmons.
I know a lot of Brooklyn fans who aren't a fan of him. I'll tell you what's very interesting, the MVP race right now.
Ooh, I think this is the best MVP race.
It's nuts.
Maybe, I don't want to say ever.
Because you got 3 guys who are kind of locked neck and neck. Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis. With Tatum's fallen off.
Tatum had going for him, or not the only thing, but the number one thing was being the best team in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
I think if Luka would stay on the court, then I think he'd be a dark horse candidate, but you know, he's been missing a bunch of games, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Jokic winning 3 MVPs.
That'd be nuts.
Has that ever happened? I mean, I'm sure it happened with Michael Jordan
and
LeBron.
Yeah. No, the last guy to do it was Larry Bird, 3 back-to-back.
Really?
Yeah, it was Larry Bird.
Interesting.
Not even Jordan won 3 back-to-back.
That's crazy.
I know Jordan won a bunch of MVPs and stuff.
We need to start giving Jokic the credit he deserves,
I feel like.
He does.
There is a lot of just Jokic hate going around, which it makes sense because the Nuggets have been in a slide.
Yeah.
Like, I think they lost to the Spurs
recently.
Yeah, they are in a funk right now.
Are they still the number one team?
They're still the number one team. Okay. They still have a good lead there. Because I think 2 is Memphis, 3 is Sacramento.
Actually, I heard Sacramento moved up.
Sacramento was 2, but I think they moved back. They moved down, but they're still, they're not going to go lower than 3. They're still a very solid squad. I'm happy for them, man. You know, this is their first winning season since like
speaking of the Suns, Jordan Hawkins is projected to go to the Suns.
To the Suns,
the 24th pick.
Nice, man. That would be interesting. All right, here's the mock draft from official NBA.
Let's look at the NBA one. I want to hear what they have to say.
So it says the Rockets going first overall, taking Victor. All right, I'm just going to scroll through. Your number 4 Charlotte Hornets, Brandon Miller from Alabama. Oof. All right, let's see here. Let's take a look through. So I swear I looked at this. I looked at this one before. Where was it? No, that's here we go. Number 23, Jordan Hawkins to the Brooklyn Nets. Oh my
God! He's not gonna have to go far if that's the case.
That's a curse, man. That's foul.
You should start playing worse so he gets drafted lower and not have to go to the Nets.
That's true. But who knows? It might take him in a lower round. But I don't know what their draft pick situation is with all their trades and stuff. Yeah, no, I don't see any other UConn players in this one. I don't know. There's a lot of drafts out there. So, but yeah, I still stand by the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be better than the Western Conference.
I think so too. I mean, who's number one now? Is it
in the East?
It's Giannis, right?
Yeah, it's
Bucks, 76ers, Celtics, right?
Yeah, those top three. Cleveland has been doing good with Donovan Mitchell. The Knicks are a sneaky team, man. They beat Denver over the weekend.
And obviously, I'm a Celtics fan, but I would like to see Philadelphia in the championship because they've been so bad for so long.
It's interesting too because like I hate all the other Philly sports teams, but the Sixers, you know, I have no feelings toward them. I don't have any old things, so like I'll root for them.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's somebody else in the East below the Knicks. The Heat fell off this year.
Is Jimmy Butler still on that team? He is, right?
Yeah, Butler's still there.
They're still a 7 seed, so they can still...
Who's number 6?
Nets.
Oh, there's...
I wonder if they'll just keep falling until the...
I don't know, because they got some guy from Phoenix in the Durant trade, Mikal Bridges or whatever, who's been lighting it up. The Nets aren't dead yet. You know, they haven't fallen off a cliff, so.
And the Hawks, Trae Young at number 8.
Interesting. So Eastern Conference is going to be so much fun.
The Celtics are back up to number 2.
Oh, they are.
They're probably not going to pass the Bucks, is my guess. Because
I know
they've been playing.
Yeah, they hit a patch. I know they gave up that huge lead to Brooklyn that night.
What's it called? And Giannis, isn't Giannis hurt too?
Giannis has been in and out.
Yeah,
and he's still been lighting it up. No. So it'll be interesting there. But yeah, I really wouldn't mind seeing the Sixers go far.
Do you think, because Luka's number 8, or Mavericks are number 8, do you think they have a shot, or he has a shot at MVP if they don't even make the tournament?
I don't know. Like, I don't think right now, just because of the time he missed, that he has a shot.
Okay.
Like, if he was healthy, different story, but... The Mavs, they ain't it this year.
Yeah,
they are just not it.
They need
Although,
to build.
They did have Kyrie, but they need to build a
roster.
They did have that crazy game versus the Lakers. Did you see that last second shot?
No, did Luka make it? I want to see
No, Luka was out, and it was like a last second thing. Kyrie had it. He passed it to someone, and he drained a 3 at the end. Yeah, I'll show you after, but it was just it was nuts. All right, so that was our little. NBA aside, let's get back into some of these basketball predictions. We left off at Alabama versus San Diego State.
I'm thinking Alabama.
I'm thinking Bama. Yeah. So let's move on. Miami versus Houston.
Houston.
I think Houston, but I think Miami can play them well because Houston's first round, they weren't good. First half, they didn't do too good. Then in the round of 32, Houston didn't do so good the first half. They were trailing Auburn by like 8 or something.
They were trailing,
and then they dropped 50 in the second half. So it's going to be an interesting game. But Houston,
I feel like an Alabama Houston final. I mean, I hate to have 2 number 1 seeds.
Yeah,
it'd be a pretty good game.
We'll see. We shall see. And then Princeton versus Creighton. the Tons.
Brinson
first
has been on a roll recently. They have momentum on their side.
I do not know who to pick here because I don't really care who wins this one. But
Creighton beat Baylor.
Creighton did beat Baylor.
That's a pretty good team to beat.
I was very excited about that because these are both teams who I'd be afraid to play because you know Princeton's been they got nothing to lose, man, and that's the scariest kind of team. I don't know.
What if we see Princeton in the Final Four? That would be crazy.
That would break my brain.
They would have to beat.
They would have to.
They would
beat
have to beat Alabama. That'd be insane.
If Princeton beat Alabama, though, that would be the funniest thing on the planet. Yeah, I don't know who I'm going with here. I really don't know.
I'm gonna go Creighton. I'm gonna respect my Nebraskan roots.
I'm gonna go for the upset here. Princeton to the Elite Eight. Let's freaking get it.
Okay.
And what is this last game here? Xavier versus Texas. We go from a game that I don't care about to a game where I hate both of these teams. So much.
Texas versus Houston Elite Eight would be pretty cool, though.
That would be insane.
That would be pretty cool.
Texas, they beat Penn State in the last round. Wasn't a fan of that. It was ruined for them. That's where my mom went. So we were very excited for the Nittany Lions, but came up short. I don't know because I'm going Texas just because of how overrated I think Xavier is.
Yeah, I don't want to see another Big East team, any more Big East teams in the tournament except UConn. So I'm also going to root for Texas.
Yeah.
Plus, I just got back
I'm not going to root for Texas, but like.
I'm going to root against Xavier.
I want to root against Xavier.
Yeah, there we go.
But like, if Creighton goes far, whatever. Then they're fine.
Exactly.
They're like, again, they're one of the Big East teams I don't really care about. There was the only other Big East team I used to say that like, I'm like, oh, well, I'll root for them. St. John's, but now they're getting Rick Pitino.
Really? Where has he been for the last, like, 5
Iona.
Years?
We beat Rick Pitino.
Interesting.
And now we get
what
to see him twice
again?
A year.
He was paying players to come to...
Something, something about that, like, at Louisville or whatever. It was. I'm not really sure.
Because I remember
thing.
They
it
used
was,
to be so good,
suppose,
Louisville.
Supposedly he was, like, buying them hookers or something.
Really?
Those are the things I heard. I'm not
Come
sure
to
how.
Louisville and we'll pick up prostitutes.
I'm not sure how accurate that is. Don't quote me. This should not be your source of that. But
there was a couple years where Louisville was like a top 10.
Yeah, they won in like 2013, but I think because of that, the title was vacated.
Okay. And because we went to, or we used to be with them in the Big East. I remember that.
Yeah, they were in the old Big East.
Yeah. I'm hearing talks of us joining the, ACC, just on Twitter. That's what my dad is saying.
No way. The ACC, from what I heard, just sucked this year. I don't know. Big East, man.
The problem is our football team. It's like now that we're better and they don't have a conference, I mean...
Yeah, but...
They're kind of just stranded.
Yeah, but like, they don't matter. Sorry. If any of you guys on the football team happen to hear this or listen to this, I don't mean it like that. I mean, you guys had a great year, very excited for what y'all are building with him Mora there, but
they just don't bring in enough money to for the school to prioritize them, unfortunately.
I know, exactly.
Which is sad,
they would need to make a monumental leap, but I mean, you know, Big East basketball is just, it's so good.
That's
like this
true.
Year they all, it doesn't matter like what their records are, they just all play each other tough.
Exactly.
It's one of the best, if not the best, basketball conference in the country.
I thought the Big East was weak this year when we first started. We were the best team because Villanova was out.
Villanova's out, but then you know there were
four or five teams in the top 25 at one point.
Yeah, we had five, I think five teams go to March Madness.
And we had what? At least three different teams in the top 10 at one point.
Yeah,
right?
we were in there. Xavier was in there at some point.
Was Providence like number 7 at one point, or am I making that up?
Last year.
Okay,
last year, Providence was pretty good for a lot of the season, but Villanova was very good. We were good.
Not great.
Yeah, no, we had that first round exit to a basketball program that doesn't exist now.
Yeah.
So that was
unfortunately.
Yeah, so that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, the fact that we made it to the Sweet 16 is great.
Elite Eight would be cool.
Elite Eight would be cool.
Pretty cool.
Getting past there is going to be hard.
That is true.
First, we're going to have to beat either UCLA or Gonzaga, which is going to be tough.
We've beaten Alabama. We beat Alabama by 20 points. Though.
We beat Alabama in that tournament, and I think Bill Walton called that game.
Yes. There was a documentary at South by Southwest about Walton, and I did not get to see it.
You know, I thought I saw something that Bill Walton was there.
Mm-hmm. He might have been there.
I swear I saw a picture. I got to see here. Hang on.
We were watching a movie, and there was a commercial for it, and I was like, oh, against Bill Walton. We, like, made fun of him for...
Hang on a sec. I got to send a quick email here for the Daily Campus. Hang on one sec. Sorry for the delay.
Oh, you're good.
Oh, this was a... Oh, I should have sent this email already. Yes, this week's column. We'll edit this part out.
I'm going to scroll through my Snapchat story. We'll edit this part out. We're doing work live on air. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, I just got to respond to this quick. All right, there we go. We're back. So, yeah, getting past the Elite Eight will be tough. Because if we make it to the Final Four, Houston.
Ooh. Houston is scary.
Houston's scary. Is Houston your pick to win it all?
Now that you say they haven't been playing as good, I'm less confident in that decision.
As of right now, who is the Will Lyon pick here?
Based on the games I've seen, it honestly might be UConn.
Really?
I feel like, I don't know. Ooh. I mean, everyone said that St. Mary's was going to give us trouble, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Like, we rolled over them. It wasn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what people are saying about Arkansas on Twitter yet.
I don't know much either. From what I've read, they're good, but not consistent. So who knows? They may have put everything into that Kansas game.
Yeah.
Very, very grateful for that, but...
I'm hesitant to say that this game will be like a rest for us, and then more of a rest than whoever we'd be playing in the round afterwards.
Well, yes, because you know it's Gonzaga or UCLA. But this Arkansas, they're feisty. They made it to the Elite Eight last year. I would not look past them. Okay. You got to take it one game at a time here.
True.
But I think we're going to the Elite Eight. But getting from there is going to be tough.
Mm.
But if we can keep playing, the way we're doing, I think what it's going to come down to is, Hawkins and Newton can't be cold.
It's exactly. And Sonogo has to keep playing how he has.
Yeah,
he has
exactly.
A weak game, we're kind of screwed.
But. Yeah, but like, nobody's been able to stop him so far.
Yeah, I know. It's nice because at the start of the season, like way, way back when, he looked like he was the best player. In the country.
He was looking
And now he's
amazing.
Finally starting to look like it again towards the end.
It's so funny, too, because like, even a bad game, Sonogo's one of those players who will be like, wait, he had 20 points already?
He has like 28 points and like 12 rebounds. What the hell?
Like, I think the Ione game, 28 points, which I think was a career high for him or something. Yeah. It's funny because when I saw him, I saw a game in November versus BU. He hit 27 that night, which I think might have been a career high at that time.
He's a baller.
Yeah, so he's him. When Sonogo was on, we do good. So it's going to be very interesting. But yeah, tomorrow night I'll be watching.
Hell yeah!
So it should be fun.
What day is it tomorrow? Thursday. I'll be watching as well.
Yeah, man. Speaking of more basketball stuff, I mentioned before about something about our favorite player, Ja Morant. So somebody on Twitter dug up his like old Instagram from like 10 years ago. So exclusive 12 _. Let me just show you some of the.
I look it up online. Someone found Ja Morant.
That's the exact article. Just look at some of this stuff. He literally has himself Jamel Morant. Follow me. I follow back. And follow me on Twitter. Oh my God. It's just one thing after another with this guy.
I feel like that's less problematic than some of the other things he's done.
It's not problematic. It's just funny that people are just looking for stuff. There
was
a lull. I can't
believe he's become like the most like clowned or like memed on player. I thought he was like safe. I thought he was good.
He was good until like the Grizzlies were on a roll and he said, "I'm fine in the West." And then the basketball gods saw them like, "Oops, sorry." And they were going to be like, and just, you know, they sent Kyrie to the Mavs, Durant to the Suns, and then just, like, yeah, Morant is an interesting guy right now. He's filling the Kyrie Irving role in terms of problematic players.
There you go.
Because Kyrie
finally named Kyrie's successor.
Kyrie hasn't really done anything this year controversial. We're still waiting on him to,
we're still waiting on his apology.
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting to. Oh my God. Never mind. Yeah. We have to edit that out. Please edit that out. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
I was going to say the whole anti-Semitic thing.
Holy shit.
There we go. We got it. It's getting edited out.
God, please do. I'm surprised that Kyrie hasn't talked about the JFK assassination yet.
Did you hear about Myles Leonard? Do you know who that is?
Do I?
So he just got signed with the Bucks. He kind of went, I don't want to say viral. He got in trouble for a few years ago because he was streaming on Twitch playing like Call of Duty.
Oh no.
He said, something you're not supposed to say. It was said a slur.
What's the name of this guy?
Myles Leonard, I think.
Okay. I think I might have saw.
Apparently, he's been forgiven now that the Bucks made a big name for the playoffs.
Yep. This guy. Okay, I see.
If you see the video where he did it originally, I'm like sweating through my shirt. You can tell he has like no remorse whatsoever.
Average Call of Duty player.
He was just a gamer who was gifted with like basketball genetics and like.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that would be.
Speaking of video games, the first thing I did when I got back from South by Southwest was buy Hogwarts Legacy
It
until six in the morning. I know.
Why?
I was craving a video game. And
I'll
be
sure
honest
you
with
were.
You, it's not. It's not worth the $50 I spent on it.
It doesn't sound worth $50. No. How much would you say it's worth?
I would say it's probably like a $25 game.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm still going to play it till like 4 in the morning tonight. Oh, but
have a meal plate.
I was going to say, I should have a meal plate.
How was Emil's break?
Good. I think it was very relaxing. Him and Zach cleaned up the apartment on their own today.
That ain't going to last.
I know. We also got a pet. We also got a new pet for our room.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we named it Lyle. We watched Lyle Crocodile together.
I'm scared for what this is going to be.
Let's find a picture of Lyle.
Oh, no. So now, in addition to all the things on the ceiling and other messes that'll be in your apartment,
we need to take care of.
You have a creature in there. They put so much responsibility on you, don't they?
This is Lyle.
What? Let me see this. Hang on.
That's his house, and we gave him a little toy to play with, and he's all bundled up.
What the hell am I looking at?
So we were watching Lyle Crocodile.
What the?
And for some reason, I think Emil got thirsty or something. And so
when is
Zach,
he not thirsty?
And so Zach filled up a paper, like a plastic bag with water, and was like, "Here, like, drink this." And then we were kind of like throwing it around and looking at it for a while.
I'm surprised it didn't burst.
Me too. And Emil was like, "What if we made this our pet?" And I was like, "What if we named him Lyle after Lyle Crocodile?"
Oh my God!
And so we have Lyle the plastic bag full of water, and he's our new pet.
I wonder how long that thing is gonna last.
Not very. Yeah. So
there's gonna be a night Emil's gonna come in all fired up, drunk, and he's gonna throw it like it's a water balloon.
It was funny because I went out of my way to give Lyle the beer and like give him a blanket, and. Right after I did that, Emil texted me, like, "Are you guys taking care of Lyle?" And I was like, "Yeah, we have been."
Oh, my God.
We'll see how long this bit lasts before Lyle's violently destroyed.
Well, he's going to face a violent, violent death.
He's going to have a rude awakening one day.
Yeah, when Emil comes firing in drunk either this weekend or some other
Speaking
time.
Speaking of this weekend,
yes.
What are your thoughts on the shows going on this weekend? I completely forgot.
I'm going Saturday. I'm definitely there. I don't think I'm going Friday. I think me and some friends are doing a poker night. Even though I love Friday's lineup, where is it?
I have no idea.
Because it said DM for address.
I think what I'm going to do for the Friday show is drive over for, like, Zoo and Zach's set, see them play, and get out of there.
Yeah.
But for the Saturday show, I'm going to be there all day.
Yeah, I'll be.
I've been waiting for that show for a while.
Yeah,
My friend Huey from high school is closing that set, and his band's in there. So they're super cool. Burning Hand, I've seen them play before. They're pretty cool. And then Dash Cam, of course. Yeah. It's going to be a fun show.
God, what you're going to do on the pit, I'm scared.
We'll see. We'll see.
You say that every time.
What's it called?
Every time you're like, I don't know. And then it's like crazier than the next. I'm scared to see what you unleash.
I think this one might finally be crazy just because there's going to be some like, some metalheads.
It's going to be a hell of a pit. I am excited for that. Cooper, I think, is going to be there.
Good, good.
So I'm very excited to be back at Funkhouse. I haven't been since, like, December.
Really?
I haven't been to any shows.
I went to one a few weeks ago, and I didn't end up staying long. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that night. Oh, yeah, because that's when I went home to see the St. John's versus UConn game.
It was a cool set, but no, I'm excited for this one. It should be good.
This is going to be fun. I just haven't been to a house show in a while.
They've kind of just become big parties, which kind of... I was talking to Faisal about it over break. It's like, at this point in the Funkhouse existence, obviously I don't want to speak on behalf of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's...
The oligarchy of Funkhouse, as he put it.
Yes. It seems like a lot of kids just want to go there to get intoxicated as opposed to go there for the music. But there are still people who are genuinely there for the music.
Go for both.
Exactly.
Go for both. That's...
Exactly.
That's the best way to experience it.
So I'm excited for this heavy show to see how everyone reacts to it. So,
oh, man, that pit is going
to be
wild.
It's going to be a long night. So
but
my brother actually might be coming to that show, too. So
really?
I'm going to meet him,
Nice. So, I'll be there, man.
Oh,
count me
so
in. I want to go.
I hope it doesn't get shut down.
Oh, my God, can you imagine?
Yeah.
Now, what's the plan?
It's going to be a loud show.
Are you driving there, Uber, and what's your plan?
I have not decided yet.
Just because I'm trying to figure out, because one of my friends, Rebecca, who's been in music class with us, wants to go.
Yeah, she definitely should. I'm either going to Uber or get there super early, like at like 4.
Okay.
Or, I don't know, because I have to figure out. There are a lot of like different variables I have to figure out.
Yeah.
I'm either going to Uber, get there early, or get there on time and park in like this secret spot that Zach Scrugg showed me.
Okay, cool.
But I'll keep you updated.
Keep
I'll
me updated. You know. Like I said, because Rebecca and I were just trying to figure out our plan. Like, because if we're going to do an Uber, we're going to try to like reserve it early or whatever.
Like make sure it's good.
Yeah.
What's it called, too? And I know for the Friday show, it's Zach Scrugg's mom. I don't know the address of this place.
Zach Scrugg's mom.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to end there now. His mom lives right across the street from that house.
Really?
So I'm just going to park there.
Wait, how close? Where is this house?
I think
is Scruggs like from here?
Yeah, his dad is a political science professor,
so he's always
been in the area.
Yeah,
if it's the house, I think it is. I think it's like 2 or 3 minutes past the Cumberland Farms. Do you know where that is?
Yeah.
So it's
over by
area.
Like Hops 44 or something.
Yeah, like in that area.
Good place, Hops 44.
I don't.
They got some good wings. Good wings.
Oh, actually, I have been there once.
Plenty of beer on tap. Nice place.
That's what was so nice about the bars, and I don't mean to jump back to South by Southwest, but you know, you could just go in, like sit down, get a cheap beer, go to some place that was more exciting, go back to some place that was less exciting. It's like here we have Ted's, it's like that's it.
I mean,
it's like
Ted's.
I know Ted's is Ted's, but
that's why I can't wait till I'm 21.
I was gonna say I flew back here and I was like, fuck, now if I want to go to the bar, I have to go to freaking Ted's again. But you know,
it's all right.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yes, sir. So, all right.
I was gonna say we have quite a long episode.
We do have
like
a
lot. 45-minute segments.
Yeah. Well, we knew coming in tonight. We had a lot to talk about, and I think we covered everything.
I think we did.
March Madness, spring break recap, weekend shows, and Ja Morant.
Mm, that's all you need.
That's all we need. So
is house shows and Ja Morant.
House really shows and Ja Morant. Now we just need Ja Morant to come to a house show. Let's just hope he doesn't go on Instagram Live.
I was going to say something. I'll say it off air.
Okay, sounds good. So thank you all for tuning in once again to Almost a Blaze. This was a very fun episode to record here. We will be back next week with an all-new episode. So until then, keep on trucking.